Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for your excellent provision for us. We trust that that you are bringing to pass your will. We trust that that you have us in your hand, that you are bringing about the future that only you can see. We can't see. We have to trust you. But Lord, we know that when you speak, there's no way it doesn't happen. When you speak, we can trust that that the word will come to pass. And so we thank you for your word today, and ask that you open our hearts to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And I might be a little short today. I'm sure that this doesn't disappoint anybody.
We're not saying nothing.
Never mind. I'm just going to go on. We talk a lot about who God is.
Right.
And we know him to be the creator. We know him to be all-powerful and all-knowing. And we know him to be the very definition of perfection. We also know that he has a unique quality of being three persons and yet one God.
Right.
He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, being the Son who came to show us how to live, to die in our place as a perfect sacrifice. And he is called God's only Son because he came and he took human form, born of a virgin. John calls him the Word and says that the Word was in the beginning with God and that the Word was God. And yet, he was there, he was with us. He lived as a man. And that becomes important as we broach our topic for today. Because as a man, while he was living here, he prayed to his Father. And the wonderful thing that I want to share with you today, and I've talked about it before, but it's been several years, is that he prayed for us. So wouldn't it make sense if God himself, in the form of Jesus, prayed for us to Father, that it might be pretty important to find out what's in that prayer?
Amen.
Because it's going to teach us his priorities. And so we should pay real close attention. Because guess what else? If anybody's prayer is going to be answered, it's going to be his.
Right.
We'll be in John chapter 17 today. And I wish I had time to go. There's so much in it that it's really worth its own series, maybe, of study. Because there's so much woven within it that we're just going to barely scratch the surface today. But really, this story, if you will, this account, starts all the way back in chapter 13 as they are participating in what we call the Lord's Supper. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. Judas has gone off to betray him to the rulers, to the chief priests. And now they have left the place where they were, and they're heading to the place where he's about to be betrayed. We don't know where exactly they are in the journey, but at some point After he has been teaching them, he begins this prayer. And there are several themes within it. One of them being the glory of God. Find that mentions in verse 1, verses 4 and 5, verses 10 and 2, 22 to 24. We're going to read that in a minute. He speaks of eternal life. And where does that life come from? It comes from knowing him. He speaks a lot about sanctification. How we have been given to Jesus by the Father. He's speaking of the disciples, but in a minute we're going to find out that when he's speaking, when he's praying about the disciples, he's also praying for us. We believe, he says we are his disciples because we believe and obey his word. He says that we're not of the world, but we have a mission in the world, and that is to make him known. But then he spends a lot of time of talking about unity. And unity is where I want to focus today. And so I'm going to read, I'll start with verse 20. Kind of picks up in the middle, but I'm going to start with verse 20. We're going to focus on those last six verses. But he says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That's you and me. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me.
Amen.
Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given to me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. Although the world has not known you, yet I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Amen.
Amen. And so, as we've already said, this prayer that he prayed for the disciples is also for us.
Amen.
And he prays that our joy may be full. And how does that happen? It happens from the words that he spoke. John 15:11 tells us that. It is his word. It is hearing it, it is obeying it, it is living by it that allows our joy to be full. And when we ask in his name, he will do it. And then it is also through our love for each other. And then he prays, and he says it several times, that we may be one, just as he and the Father are one. Wow, that's a pretty big thing there. There is absolutely no division between Jesus and the Father. They are at one on everything. They agree on their sin. They don't ever have an argument in heaven.
Right. That's right.
And that's what we're supposed to be like. I know it's going to take us a while to get there. We'll probably have to wait until we get to heaven. But that's the desire. That's the goal, that we all be so in tune. And how do we do that? We don't do that by trying real hard just to get along with each other and not fight. I mean, we should do that. But we do that not by focusing on that, but by focusing on Him. By learning what He wants and trying our best to do what He wants. And in the midst of doing that, guess what? We're all going to be on the same page. Well, at least that's the idea.
Amen.
Just look at all the denominations. You can see that it doesn't always work out that way in practice. But that's the idea. We are joint heirs, Romans chapter 8:17 says, with Jesus. But it says that we also participate in His suffering. But we are through Abraham's promise. Galatians 3:29 tells us that He loves us just as much. Just as much. That's hard to even comprehend. How's that even possible? But that's what He says. He loves you. The Heavenly Father loves you just as much as He loves Jesus.
Wow.
Meditate on that for a while. Let that get inside your soul. I'm still working on it. But I tell you what, when I think about it, it sure does change the way I think about things. And why is this? So the world will believe. One of my favorite verses, I quote it all the time, right? This is how the world will know that you're disciples, if you have love for one another.
Mm-hmm.
So that the world may believe. And then He speaks of His glory. His glory comes from the Father. Says that in several places, including this that we just read. 8:54 also tells us that. Glory is worthless if it comes from man.
Right.
But Jesus says that He gave it to us. And it enables that oneness that He desires for us. It is through that glory that He gave us that we're able to do that. So, the obvious question then becomes, how is He glorified? How do we glorify God? Well, one way we do it is by good works. If they're done out of a heart, out of a heart that desires to please Him, the works themselves don't do anything. But when we do them with a heart for Him, yes, those good works glorify God. Ours, Matthew 5:16 says that. Those works that are done in His name, and I should say truly done in His name, that is under His authority, that is with His blessing. When we do things that we say are in His name, but they're really not, He doesn't get any glory from that, neither do we. In fact, we're going to find ourselves in trouble.
True. Please turn up the volume.
Well, I can try that. I think we had it about as high as it would go without causing feedback. Let's see if we can get any more without causing problems. Is that all the way up? No. Which one's which here? I don't want to turn up the wrong one.
I don't know. Sing, Larry. You're going to find out.
All right. Is that better?
Yes.
We'll see if that might cause feedback. We'll try. But I wasn't saying anything for a minute there. I was reading my note trying to figure out what I meant to say by it.
You're my message.
Oh, well, you know what the problem is? Facebook is indeterminate about whether or not it's going to use the headset or the phone, and you never can choose, know what it's going to pick, and apparently today it picked it wrong. But hopefully this will work, make it a little better. Got to figure out some way to fix that, I guess. But anyway, back to the subject at hand. Our good works glorify with him. Glorify him. That's one of the ways that we glorify him. And of course, I'm going to skip that because I don't know what I meant. Praise God. We glorify him when we produce spiritual fruit. And to kind of explain that a little bit, when it begins to show up in our lives that we belong to him by what we say, what we do, how we act, when those fruits begin to manifest, you can look in Galatians 5:22 and kind of see a description. You can also look in 1 Corinthians 13, because really what the fruit is that we're producing is love. So he's glorified when we exhibit love.
Right.
He's glorified by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. John 16:14 tells us that. He's glorified in sacrifice. Jesus himself illustrated that by coming to us in the first place as a helpless human baby. And the angels were singing. I don't know if they were actually singing. It doesn't really say that. We just assumed it. But the angels were saying, "Glory to God in the highest." Jesus, dwelling among us as a mere man, the glory is in his sacrifice. And of course, at the cross, he came for this. And you can, and he says as much. He says it in John chapter 12, 23 through 28. And he says it again after Judas has left. He says, "This is why I've come." 13:31. And he is glorified in the resurrection.
Amen.
And he prays. And because he says this, we know that it's going to be, we know that it's true. He prays that we will be with him and that we will see his glory.
Amen.
And why is that? Because he knows the Father. And because he came from the Father. And he has made the Father known to us. And he says that he's going to keep on doing it. So keep on seeking.
Amen.
And why is this? So that we are unified, us with each other and us with him, by love.
That's true. Amen.
Jesus desires unity. But sometimes that's not what we exhibit. We exhibit disunity. The last time I looked, which was several years ago, the last time I looked, we had something like 1,500 plus faith groups just in America. Of course, that includes also some cults in our early faith groups based on the source that I got. But needless to say, awful lot of divisions. Awful lot of sects, and we split over everything. We split over theology. That's at least understandable. We need to be making sure that what we're splitting over is something that really matters. We split over the different ways that we observe worship, or how we do our services, or what kind of music we use. And a lot of times, really, and sometimes it's personal grievance. And some things are critical. Some things are important. Jesus is God and Lord. Can't really compromise on that. The literal death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, can't really compromise on that. Acceptance of the Bible as the standard of the Word of God, can't really compromise on that. And yes, if we all understood it, then there'd be no disagreement. We'd all be on the same page. That'd be great. And someday we will be. Probably when He comes back.
Right.
But since we will not, since we're not able to get to that point on our own, we need to just agree to disagree. And certainly stop hurting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Our love is what is supposed to draw the world to us. Our division drives them away. I mean, who wants to be a part of that? They get enough of that already.
Right.
And we have a lot of churches now that are recognizing that. And I think that's part of the reason a lot of them have dropped the denominational representation out of their name. Because they're not, it's not that they don't want to be Baptist or whatever it is they are anymore. It's simply that they don't want that to be the main thing. And I'm not suggesting we do that. Don't anybody get upset. But that's why it's being done. Because we want to emphasize Jesus and nothing else. But Jesus Himself prayed for us. He prayed for us that we would be one so that others will believe. That we would all be with Him. Folks, that prayer is going to be answered. But that doesn't mean that everyone, regardless of whether or not they've made Him Lord, gets to be part of that. It still requires that you come and you join the family. And it's not hard to do. I say that. I want to clarify that. It's not hard to do. It's a free gift. All you have to do is give your heart to Him and say, I'm willing to obey you. I know that you died for my sins. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you died and were buried and rose again on the third day. I know that you paid for my sins and I'm asking you to be my Lord. It's that simple. But I don't want to say it's simple. Because then you've given your life to the Lord and things are going to change.
That's right. Amen.
And don't misunderstand me, that doesn't mean that you have to change. Well, I want to be careful here, because there is a need for us to start moving in the right direction. But understand that you don't do it alone. Understand that it is His grace and His mercy and His power that you rely on. It is He that makes the change in you. If you have anything to do with it, it's just that you say, okay, Lord, it's your heart. It's your house. You do whatever you want to with it. And be submitted to Him. And that's what He asks.
Amen.
So thank you, Lord. Thank you that you loved us that much. I don't even know how to process that. You love us that much. And you desire us to be with you. And you desire to share the glory that is yours alone. And yet, you've given it freely. I don't even fully understand yet, Lord, what that means. I suppose we won't until we're there. And you will always be God, and we're not going to be equal to you. And yet, you have made us heirs. Thank you, Lord. Let us live like it.
Yes.
From this day forward, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.